Welcome to Psych Tech on the Geek Therapy Podcast Network, where we talk about psychology and technology. My name is Josue Cardona with Kelly Dunlap. Kelly, before we get started, I would like to at least casually mention that today is our 100th published episode, at least. Congratulations!
Woo! We did it! We're so old!
Oh,
I'm very excited. Happy birthday to us!
Yeah.
Seriously, that's it. I mean, all joking aside, that's a huge accomplishment. So, GG.
But it also kind of snuck up on us. So that's why we're not doing anything necessarily super special or different today. But it's worth mentioning. And like any good podcast, we've lost a few along the way. And we've had some missteps. But, you know, it's we made it. It's like, it feels, I don't know, you know, it's like we can go in a syndication now or something. It feels good.
I mean, that's how surprise parties work, is they surprise you.
Are you saying that there's a surprise?
Well, the surprise is that it's our 100th episode. And we both were like, oh, see? So yeah, we surprised each other.
Yeah, the surprise was when I was editing 99 and I'm like, oh.
Oops.
Yep. Well, it feels good. It feels good. All right. So what are we talking about today?
Well, there's nothing quite as celebratory as talking about the repeal of net neutrality.
How does that make you feel, Kelly?
Depressed. Not hopeless, as we will discuss, but definitely not quite as happy as I wish I was.
Yeah, I mean, net neutrality is interesting. And I do want to mention that what we'll be talking about in general is mostly what's going on in the United States, right? The U.S. government just repealed what just a few years ago was put into place to kind of guarantee this idea of net neutrality, which we'll define in a second, but it's and it was just repealed by the Trump administration. So in different countries, this idea is different, but the internet was born here in the United States, and so much of just technology is technology, maybe culture and policy and ideas, you know, come from here too. So I can't even speak to what effects it would have at a regulatory level at different countries. So we're gonna stick to the local.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I feel like, enough out of our wheelhouse in general that we don't need to be making broad, like, universal statements. So we'll keep it close to home and talk about how it will and has and could potentially affect you and everyone you love and their mental health, because that's a really important component that I don't think is being talked enough about in terms of what just happened earlier last week.
Oh, I'm curious about that, because I essentially have like a Black Mirror dystopia planned out for this episode. So yeah.
it feels like that a lot.
Yeah.
So I guess just to kind of get us started, is, you know, what is net neutrality? So it's this idea that the internet is an open space where everybody's on equal footing. So in 2015, there was a regulation put in place that required internet service providers, so like Comcast or AT&T or Verizon, to treat all online content equally so that consumers can go to whatever website they want. So you can download movies or visit a website or an app or play with GIFs or to your heart's content, regardless of where the content is hosted. So, you know, if something is like, hey, I really want to listen to a podcast, AT&T has to give you as much bandwidth to listen to Psych Tech as it would to listen to This American Life. It's pretty much what that says. Another way of thinking about it is it stops, this regulation stops internet service providers from either speeding up, slowing down, or blocking any content that you might want to use. So it doesn't let them become gatekeepers. They're just kind of like they're the middleman. They're the provider. They connect you to the internet. They are the plug. And that's kind of what it's supposed to be. And this came about because the internet was redefined as a public utility. So instead of being, I'm not even quite sure what it was considered before, some kind of like informational system that could be tiered and things like that, it was defined as a public good, basically. So it had to be regulated and made accessible, like electricity or like water, which I totally agree with, by the way. So yeah, that's basically what we're talking about when we're talking about net neutrality is equal access to the internet, and your internet service providers cannot change your experience or say where you can go or change the price of what it takes to go there.
Yeah, and the water example, I think, is at least the one that makes it the easiest to understand, at least for me, right? It's like if the internet is water,
right?
And you want water in your house, you just open the faucet, water comes out, and there aren't different types of water. There isn't anything. It's just water. It's just internet that reaches your house. So this idea of guaranteeing that it was or being regulated as a utility is very new. But all of that gets confusing, and I think it can change so much, and it can change not only within this current administration, it can change in the future too, because I think the broad idea of net neutrality is just that the internet is open and accessible to everybody. And that's it. The problem here with the real regulation comes to the internet service providers, which is then kind of the pipes that get it to your house. And now it's not just like regular pipes. Now these are special pipes with special deals and connections and all of these different handshake agreements and alliances. And it's like some Game of Thrones stuff, actually, that could happen if net neutrality is gone, because then there's a lot of different things that can happen. And as of right now, I don't know of any example of anything that has happened.
Well, that's because it's not law yet. So let me take a step back. I'm just channeling my husband because he's a policy wonk, and I got a good dose of it this morning. So what happened last week was that the FCC decided to roll back this regulation. And basically, they passed kind of an impromptu, not really a law, but kind of a law thing, saying that, okay, internet service providers can now do this. We are going to redefine the internet. It's no longer a public good. It is back to being this informational thing that can be, that is less regulated. And the internet service providers have more freedom to cheat their customers, basically. So what happens next is Congress has what they call it's in my notes somewhere.
So nothing has happened yet because it's so new. But in the past, there weren't horrible, egregious examples of this happening before necessarily. I don't think most people noticed when the net neutrality things kicked into effect. And it could get bad, but I don't think it ever was really bad. I mean, I do want to talk about different examples.
Okay, so let me try that again. So the FCC passed basically a regulation saying that the internet is not a common good, and deregulated it so that internet service providers have a lot more leeway. And the ideology behind it is that if internet service providers are able to charge more for premium services, that will increase their revenues, which will then encourage them to invest in infrastructure, which will create a better internet for everybody, and including expanding to rural areas that now have very limited internet service or none at all, which I think is a total pile of baloney. If you want to go look, you can check out how much Telecom has donated to your senator and donated to your congressperson. I know the one up here in New York has received something like $60,000 in donations from Telecom, and she voted for she was in favor of this ruling. So that's, I guess, a roundabout way of saying there's a lot of lobbyists and there's a lot of money involved in making the internet not as free as it used to be. And this is important because in the past, there have been some really egregious examples of what could happen. So the kind of the doomsday scenario that I've seen around social media is this infographic of, you know, it's $2 a month if you want to access Twitter. It's $5 a month if you want Twitter and Facebook. It's $20 a month if you want Twitter, Facebook, and Fox News. It's $30 if you want Twitter, Facebook, and not Fox News. So this the idea of like having extreme tiers that could price people out of important information or out of markets. And again, that'll become relevant again when we talk about mental health and healthcare. And I mean, the reason, the idea that a giant corporation is going to not be good to its consumers is not unusual. I mean, there's an entire bureau that was established to deal with that, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. But just, I guess, a couple of examples that have happened in the past, and this was pre-net neutrality, but part of what prompted the need for it. So I think one of the biggest ones was the 2005 Madison River case. And basically what happened is there was an internet service provider, the Madison River Communications. And what they did is they blocked VoIP services. So that's the service that allows you to basically have telephone conversations over the internet, so like Skype or FaceTime. And they just blocked it. People couldn't use it anymore. And oddly enough, Madison River Communications had a landline service. So basically, they were blocking competition. They weren't allowing people to make telephone calls from their computers so that they would have to use landlines that they would then provide. And that was seen as a bad thing, and they were fined and whatnot. And there's a bunch of examples. There's one where a Canadian telecommunications company blocked access to websites where that were supporting a labor strike against that company. So, here you're talking about like really creepy panopticon kind of censorship stuff of, you know, the ISP deciding what you get to see in that case. And again, that was also said that, no, you can't do that. And then like 2011, there was another one where MetroPCS said that they would block all streaming video from your mobile device except for YouTube. And so there's this potential to have these massive partnerships. I think Google, even though they were originally pro net neutrality, has signed some kind of backroom deal with Comcast so that if this goes through, that they get the priority. You know, they'll get the fast internet, whereas, you know, if you use Bing, I don't think anybody uses Bing, but if you wanted to use Bing, like your internet could be slower because you're not using that search engine.
And examples like those are where the extra revenue comes in, right? The idea is that a company, so that the idea is that Verizon is missing out on not making a special deal with YouTube or Netflix to give them a fast lane to your house or to everybody. And since they're missing out on that money, like you said before, that's why they're not investing in rural areas or improving infrastructure, et cetera, et cetera. I also don't buy that part, but it is true that they are missing out on additional revenue. The reason for why they want that revenue, I think, is misrepresented. But they definitely have access to more revenue because they can do that, and huge companies like Netflix and YouTube are willing to pay. And then how does that affect other companies, right? So it's kind of like, so if YouTube or Netflix is a better example, is paying for that, and then you have Amazon Prime Video, and now all your Amazon Prime Video is either slowed down or, like today you want, let's say you have 4K TV, you want to stream Netflix in 4K. And you already have Netflix as a gatekeeper for that. You have to pay extra to get 4K content. And then that content is going through your internet service provider, and your download speeds depend. Like if you don't pay for faster download speeds with your ISP, you're already not even able to watch 4K well. Like it could stutter, it could be a problem. So now you have to pay Netflix more for the 4K, you have to pay the internet service provider more for the speed, and then on top of that, there could be more things. Like what would be an example here? It would be like, maybe there's already data caps. There's already so many things that different ISPs already do that I think that's why it's hard to explain to people how much worse it could be, because you're already paying Netflix, you're already paying your ISP, and you're already paying at particular tiers to even get 4K. And now maybe you're paying Netflix for 4K, but you also, well, I guess the ISP could just block anything that resembles that if the 4K data is way more, right? So maybe they're already thinking, okay, well, we're going to limit 4K during prime time, for example, for Netflix, and we're going to prioritize it with, Verizon doesn't own any media companies, right? I think AT&T and Time Warner are together. Is that accurate? I think. So maybe they could...
Yes, during, that was a jumbo merger, yeah.
Right, so maybe Verizon instead of... so maybe if you have AT&T as your internet during prime time, even though you pay more for Netflix, you could get your Netflix stream limited so that you can't get 4K, or you could get it blocked completely. So then you're forced to see... to just watch like prime time on Time Warner channels, which would be... I don't remember any Time Warner channels at the moment, but I don't know, like the CW or something like that. Something like that could happen, which is where it gets kind of complicated. So you're already, like, not only do you have all these different gatekeepers already involved in the process, and cell phones work completely different than the regular ISPs, than the landlines at the moment, which is a whole other story.
Yeah, I think one of the best ways of kind of like wrapping my brain around the potential of what could happen is to think of the internet like pizza. And I got this from an article, which I'll link to in the show notes. But imagine that you live in a town that has only two pizza places. There's a Domino's and a Pizza Hut, and one internet service provider, which is a very realistic thing. Like, I know for me, there's only one internet service provider where I am right now. And we do have lots of pizza places, but you know, we'll just go from there. Typically, if you wanted to order a pizza online, you would just log on. You would go to that website and you would just order your pizza. It'd be no big deal. But in the world without net neutrality, your ISP, so your internet service provider, could, say, cut a deal with Pizza Hut. That would give extra bandwidth to people who are ordering from Pizza Hut and would throttle the bandwidth of people who are trying to access Domino's. They could even completely cut off access to Domino's that you could not order online from their site anymore, which could be totally possible.
And when you say throttle bandwidth, that means if I call Pizza Hut and I'm like, "What, do you have any special deals this week?" It's like, yeah, as a matter of fact, you do. If you order two large pizzas, you'll also get a speed bump in your internet for the next month. Like, you could start pairing things like that together.
Yeah, I mean, that's something else that could totally happen. So something else to think about is forget trying to bring any new pizza chains to your area, because if that kind of discrimination already exists for a big chain like Domino's and Pizza Hut, what's a little mom and pop shop going to do, you know, that has like a GeoCities website that you can order from because they're trying so hard, but they won't even be on the radar. Because they don't have the money to pay to get on your ISP provider's radar. And so it's fine to think about it as pizza. Like, you might prefer Domino's, but you know that it'll take 20 minutes to actually log on and order a pizza on Domino's.com because the internet is so slow because it's being throttled. So you might end up just going to Pizza Hut, even though that's not really what you want. You just don't want the hassle. Now imagine that instead of pizza, we are talking about, I don't know, healthcare, or, you know, telemedicine, the access to your mental health provider, or to any kind of support services. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, in this age of CVS just bought a healthcare system. Aetna.
Yeah.
Like, holy crap! I mean, can you imagine if, you know, they partnered with an internet service provider? And they paid them a crap ton of money. And so anytime you Googled a symptom or you tried to find a local doctor or you were trying to find some kind of information about medication, you only got directed to CVS branded content. Like, you could only find contact information for physicians or providers who were in that CVS Aetna network. And it sounds crazy. Like Josue said earlier, it sounds like some kind of Black Mirror universe thing. But this is something that could absolutely happen if this regulation is allowed to stand.
So it didn't happen before, and I don't think, and I'm way less pessimistic. I'm still pessimistic about this. I'm worried, but I'm not as worried. I'm glad we're back to like our normal. You're more gloom and doom, I think, and I'm less so.
But it did happen in the past. Like, there's tons and tons of examples. I spent the morning going through Reddit threads that listing out all the times that ISP providers violated the idea of net neutrality before it became a law. Like, all the times that they tried to screw over their customers, whether it's by blocking voice over internet protocols, and so you can't use Skype or FaceTime, or just straight up blocking content they don't like banning the websites of, you know, people that support a strike against the company. Or there was another one where a narwhal, is that NARWL, was trying to raise funds through text message. And this, I think it was Sprint or Verizon, said no. And so they didn't let people who had their service donate via text to this nonprofit. So to me, it's terrifying, because they have shown in the past that these are things that they will get away with and try to get away with. So yeah, I think past behavior indicates future behavior, and I have absolutely no faith that they will not just go Black Mirror and start parceling out. Okay, doom and gloom. It's the death of the internet, as we know it. Now that said, there are some other things that are going on. There's been a really big push in light of this to have a public internet. I think there's someone in Hawaii who's doing some really interesting work on creating public broadband so that it's owned by the people and isn't regulated or whatever by the FCC or not regulated by the FCC now. And the other thing that really gets me this way is that in this FCC ruling, they actually make it illegal, if I'm understanding this right, they make it illegal for states to write their own laws about net neutrality, which to me is a gross overstep of executive privilege, you know, because states should be able to regulate commerce within their own state.
The federal government blocking states from doing something sounds very anti-Republican. That sounds strange. I must investigate further. But I see the potential dystopia. I'm still hopeful. Again, there are past examples, but they're, I don't want to say that they're not bad, because they are bad, but they don't feel huge. But also, there's so much going on right now, right? It constantly gets more expensive to get access to different things. And the weird thing is that the internet is already decentralized, right? So we're not really talking about the internet per se, because the government can't really regulate the internet. It can only regulate access to the internet. Which is different. It's we know from different countries. We hear stories from North Korea or from China where this type of thing happens all the time, where they block certain things to give an advantage to others. So those examples are really, really bad. But and a lot of the examples that we've seen in the United States are older, right? I think the world is different now. Everything depends on the internet. And you know, my recent experiences in Puerto Rico really, like, it was scary to be so limited in what you could do. And I mentioned previously that because I had AT&T cell phone service, literally the cell phone towers fell, right? So they literally disappeared. And one of the only few that were left were AT&T ones. So I was able to access a little bit of communication. But a lot of people just it disappeared completely. And kind of my biggest worries are when we're seeing so many rights being taken away, I can see this getting really, really bad. I can see different groups, different minorities, different locations having preferential access, you know, or limited access. I choose to have an Apple phone, and I choose to use a not jailbroken phone with access to the App Store. And Apple limits the companies that or the apps that can be sold there. So there are certain type of apps that you could find on Google Play that you can't find on Apple because they have particular policies about that. And at every level, we have this kind of gatekeeping that goes through. And this adds this very scary layer to it. But by doing it at such a... By being the... Like, I still have the option between Google and Apple, right? And that's the big argument. It's that apparently like half the people in the United States don't have access to more than one provider for internet services. Do you have, like, what are your options where you live?
There is one internet service provider, and that is it.
So where I live right now, there's Verizon, and then there's the cable company, right? So there are two options here. So 50% of us has access to only one service provider. And that's where it's scary, because the potential of all of these net neutrality repeals is, I think, really the biggest story is it increases disparity. It limits competition, because if you and I go into the same business and I have the extra capital to be able to get that preferential treatment, people's experience with my product will be better than with yours, right? And that's the type of thing that I think we'll see most, more than censorship. Sure, there'll be a company that'll be like, nope, we're not serving San Francisco because we're against LGBT people, right? Or something like that. Like, I can see that type of thing happening. But in general, what we're going to see is this disparity, this inequality of access. Like, I already pay a little bit extra to get, like, no ads on Hulu or to get 4K in Netflix, right? Little things like that I'll do. But now to have to start getting that extra access for everything, like, people will start having completely different experiences. My experience with the internet could be completely different from someone else's. And that's where I think that it's a huge problem. It's so strange to be in the same place and then be talking to someone and talking about an experience that is completely different, right? It's like having, I don't know, like, you know, you're speaking to someone, like, I'm not blind or deaf, but speaking to someone who is completely limited in one of those senses, and then, but seeing a movie together, going to a place, it's a completely different experience. And that's the type of thing that I see the potential for. And unfortunately, when it's subtle, which it will be, and I think it already is and was before net neutrality, but it will continue to be. And that type of thing just increases disparity, right? You're going to be creating completely new groups of people. Like, everything we do depends on the internet, right? This podcast depends on the internet. It would suck if people, and actually I had this happen when I was in Puerto Rico. I was trying to download some podcasts, and the companies that use good providers, good podcasting hosts, I was able to download podcasts. Even if it took a while, I was able to do it because they had good infrastructure. They had good accounts, but you have to pay extra for those. And then podcasts that were hosted on SoundCloud were so slow because they're not really built for that. And if someone is, a lot of people use SoundCloud, this is like podcasting inside baseball, right? But if someone is hosting their podcast on SoundCloud, they probably don't want to spend money or on a better provider. And they probably don't care that other people are getting, their podcast is downloading slower because it's downloading anyway. They don't really care.
Or they have no other option.
Oh yeah. Well, like in that case, you do have an option. And this is the argument that I'm making, that many companies will have the option. And the companies that can take it or are willing to take it will win. And the companies that don't will lose. And a company that chooses, like, it's not a choice anymore for certain companies. They have to either make that bigger leap, right, to give people the better access, or you can't compete. And those are the areas where it gets really bad. Where it scares me most is access to not only important things, like I think we'll talk about now, but the access to, like, the targeting of particular people. You're already, by definition, you're already targeting people with lower resources, people in lower economic status. Like, those people are already at a disadvantage right now. And with net neutrality, it could just get worse and worse and worse.
No, I mean, I'm glad that you're on the doom train with me. But I mean, like, absolutely, people who are lower SES or don't have excess funds, like, they're going to have a much crappier experience. It reminds me a lot of, you know, kind of like riding the metro. And that, you know, there are lines that are better taken care of than others. And if you happen to live on and rely on one of the metro lines that is not as well repaired, which tends to be in the worst parts of DC, your commute time is so much longer. Or, you know, for example, when they were doing all that maintenance on the metro, you know, people's commute time skyrocketed and a lot of people opted out for ride shares or Uber and Lyft to get to work on time. But for a large amount of people in the DC area that rely 100% on the metro to get to their jobs or to pick up their kids, and they don't have the income to pay for an Uber every morning, like, they're in a really, really difficult spot.
And in the future, they're going to have, some people will have access to a Hyperloop in DC.
Yes.
Right? Which is,
and some people still have to wait for the crappy bus that is always 20 minutes late.
Exactly. And now your entire life is changing because now you're getting from point A to point B in 10 minutes versus an hour and a half or 2 hours.
Yeah. And so and again, think about that in terms of a job search. For example, if there's only certain websites where you can look for jobs, I mean, I feel like this arms race to see who can get, like, the largest corporations and screw people over the most to direct them where they want to go. It's like there's sharks all around you, so you better go to this one place where there aren't sharks because that's the only way you're going to survive. And it's awful. And I hope that it won't become Black Mirror, but that's kind of like the extreme that I see, especially as a 15 million merits, I think is the episode I'm thinking of, where you could pay to skip ads. that you were inundated with and paid to skip content you didn't want to see. And then the kind of reality that hit the character when he ran out of credits and he couldn't pay to skip content, and how, in that case, it was traumatizing. I feel like people who are less fortunate, who have less privilege in every sense of the word, are just going to get absolutely screwed. If you have money, you'll be okay. You can pay for the more expensive Netflix account. You can pay for the fast lane. You can, you know, but if you're a person of lesser means, or if you're a startup, if you're a company that's just trying to make a mark. I was reading a really great interview with Discord, who was talking about how important net neutrality is, because if they had to pay the same kind of influencer money to get the same exposure as, say, like Twitch or I don't know, what's another Discord-like product?
Slack is the most similar.
Slack.
Yeah.
There we go. If they had to compete with Slack financially, there's no way they would have had any success. They would never be able to get on people's radar. But because the internet, at least for now, is free and open, you know, they can compete with the big dogs. And I mean, there's already so many barriers, you know, paying for advertising and stuff like that. But, you know, at least for Discord, if you went to discord.com, you would find them, and they could optimize for SEO. And so it's I feel like we should pivot to psych, since I feel like we've talked a lot about the tech. But I think these are all really great examples of why mental health in particular should be really concerned about net neutrality. So, you know, telemedicine is a really big thing. And if the provider that you're with can't pay to have that high speed that they need, because, you know, obviously if you're FaceTiming with somebody, you need the appropriate bandwidth, you know, either that cost is going to go to the client, so making therapy even more expensive, which is a ridiculous thought, or they're not going to be able to provide the same level or quality of service. And I know we've talked before about the apps, like the Talkspace app and a couple of the other counseling apps. And, you know, imagine, I think Talkspace is probably the most well-known. They could totally partner with an ISP to make sure that their app is the number one hit, or their app is the only one that you can get to. So if you're looking to try and get some kind of mental health support, you know, through a product like that, your choices could be extremely limited. And it opens the potential for harm. In a way, I don't think that we've really experienced before, at least in the mental health field, that the opportunity for coercion, or, you know, like you don't even get to choose your own provider, or I don't know. I feel like I have so many emotions I can't even.
It's not the access that actually concerns me. It's the experience that concerns me, because let's say Talkspace is the app now, and then I go and I start my own app, and I have way more money. And I make a deal with your ISP. And now when you try both of them out, Talkspace looks like garbage because it's being throttled. So you're getting lower quality video and audio. And then you use my app and everything looks sharp and clean and it's coming in, you know, zero latency. That's the type of thing that bothers me, because some people will be able to afford the better one. And now someone will have to settle for the less good one, and the experience will be different. And for most people, and this is where I thought you were going with the mental health experience, not just access to care, but just the idea that you can see easily around you what the better option is, what the better experience is, and you can't do that. And that experience, we all go through that while we're in our daily lives, and the internet was one area where there was a level playing field. That was not the case. We all had access to YouTube. We could all see this, that. Like, it was, the internet was the one place where we could all coexist on a level playing field. And that is going to disappear because the potential is there, right? That it can, the experiences will be completely different. And again, like, think of the distress of talking to somebody about, like, and I'll bring up the 4K example again, right? I'm the type of person who, like, I've always been right there when these resolutions are going up, right? And I, TV resolutions and better surround sound. And, like, I love that stuff, right? It's like going to the movie theater. You go to the movie theater, you can pay $25 to get this like amazing movie experience, or you could pay, you go to the cheap theater, right? It's still the same movie technically, but that experience is very, very different. And in some cases, like a movie, maybe that's not a problem, unless that's something that's important to you. Like, that's really important to me. I saw Star Wars last week, and I saw it in a really, really bad screen, and it ruined my experience. And that's something that I care about. Other people probably don't care. But it's that idea, like, the things that you care about, the things that are important to you, are now potentially, your experience may get worse just because of nothing that you did, but because of deals that are happening in the background, and they were facilitated by deregulation. And again, it's the experiences that I think will change a lot. And that is going to affect a lot of people.
Well, I can even speak to that from a mental health perspective, and kind of circling back to Talkspace. I actually signed up for a month because I wanted to give it a try. I was feeling really stressed and really like having a hard time. And so I was like, well, you know, I'm super rural. There's no face-to-face here. Like that anywhere. So I was like, okay, you know what? I'll give it a try. I want to see what it's like. I signed up for like the lowest possible tier. It was still like $150 for the month, which is like not bad in the grand scheme of things. But the access that I got was the therapist that I spoke to would check in the morning to see if I had posted anything, and then check in the evening to see if I had posted anything. So it was completely asynchronous. And then I stopped. I didn't even get all the way through the month. I'm like, this is stupid. This isn't working for me. Like, I know what good therapy feels like. And I wasn't expecting necessarily like great therapy, because you are limited by an app. But it was what ended up happening is I would talk about something and I would just get like a almost like a platitude, like a pat on the head response of, well, sometimes anxiety is like that. I'm like, okay, I understand how that sounds in the room as part of a larger discussion, but as just like a single text message, I found it incredibly ineffective. I usually felt worse after checking in, and so I stopped. And of course, they have other options. If I wanted to pay, you know, double or triple, I think, you could have like scheduled one-on-one FaceTime where you guys are actually, you know, face-to-face and doing therapy as you would in person, just through a screen. And, you know, not something that I could afford. And that's what kind of, like, that's what's going to happen to the internet. And that, to me, is what's going to happen in terms of being able to provide any kind of care over the internet. And you know, if something like the National Institute of Mental Health can't pay for, you know, can't pay off Comcast enough access to their articles or their recommendations or their information might be off limits to me. Or if I can't pay for the package that gets me, you know, that research database, then I'm screwed. And yeah, so when you're talking about experience, that's kind of how I see it happening, is especially for mental health, like the quality of care that was differentiated just because of cost, like not even necessarily having to do with access, but just the ability to pay to get that care, was terrible. And I understand, you know, that's typically how therapy works. You go to the client that you, or you go to the practitioner you can afford, or your insurance will pay for, or whatever. But typically, you're going to get like the same quality of care, at least hopefully in general. I said in general, let me be aspirational. Okay, let me get out of my darkness for 1 second.
No.
Okay. Just doom and gloom. We're screwed. We're done. It's over. Except for the one ray of light that I have to wrap up with.
Well, the mental health discussion is, like, mental health is complicated. That's a whole other discussion, probably a whole other show. But I think the best parallel is the access to, like, if you find one therapist that's not working for you, you can hopefully go find another one. And again, you're limited by your finances. You're limited by your insurance company. You're limited by your location. You're limited now also by potentially your internet service provider. That's a lot of barriers to any type of treatment, not just mental health. But I think that the mental health component that I care, again, that I want to, that I'm more concerned about is in general, the disparity, the losing control of so many aspects of your life. Again, you're doing everything right, and all of a sudden, these things can change, and that's not going to feel good. That's not going to be good for a lot of people. For some people, it's going to be fantastic, but for a lot of other people, it's going to be bad. And again, it was already bad. It's already bad right now. It can potentially get worse. And one of the things that bothers me about the argument from the Federal Communications Commission chairman is that, you know, this requires full transparency on behalf of the companies, which means that every company, whatever they're doing, you'll be able to see what that is. And I think that just makes the problem worse, because if you are in a location where you're limited and you can see all of the things that they're doing, it's like a double, triple, quadruple slap in the face, because now you know exactly what's happening. And like I said, the internet was an area where, yeah, your speed depended maybe on how much you can afford, but that was it. Access didn't matter. And now all this access is different. You brought up Black Mirror as an example. The one I thought about was White Christmas, when at the end he's released, but he can't see certain people.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like you're going to walk out into the world and your experience may be completely different from mine, because I have access to things that you maybe don't have access to. That's one example, but also just like your experience of living is going to be different than my experience of living, even online. And that's very sad. But what is your ray of hope? Take us home with a positive note.
My ray of hope is called the CRA. It is the Congressional Review Act. Yes, the Congressional Review Act, which is basically, again, I'm trying to channel my husband here, and I hope he's proud of me. So the FCC is part of is a regulatory body that falls under the executive branch of government. Congress gets to always decide, have a say in what the executive branch does, because Congress holds ultimate power in terms of laws and running the country. So since the FCC falls under the executive branch, Congress can have basically a simple majority vote to ditch it. So the FCC said, hey, let's repeal net neutrality, which is, again, kind of like a sort of way-ish of making a law-ish thing. And Congress can go, oh, no, 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 sweetie. And that's what they're doing, is they're calling for this Congressional Review Act. So in the Senate and in the House, they can have a vote, which basically says we accept or reject this regulation by the FCC. And the cool thing is that it only needs a majority, a simple majority. So not like the normal 60 seats in the Senate, but you only need 51. And then you need a simple majority in the House. So just one vote more than 50-50. In the House. And if they're able to do that, then FCC can just go screw itself, because their Congress has basically told them, no, that regulation, Congress basically passes a law saying that regulation is not a law. So that is my ray of hope, in that Congress will be able to put a stop to it. Putting your hope in Congress is pretty bleak, but that's where we've come to. So we'll see what happens. I mean, the decision by the FCC is wildly, wildly unpopular. So hopefully we can get 51 senators and whatever is half plus one of the House. I'm going to get in so much trouble for not knowing what that number is. So it is possible that the FCC's decision will be shot down by Congress, and then we never go to this dark, dark mirror place where you have to, you know, pay to not watch ads, or pay to unblock people's faces that you see as you pass down the street.
Yeah, I don't think we'll ever reach The Handmaid's Tale in this country. And we're definitely going to see this play out for many, many years.
Oh, crap. I forgot one more thing. The thing that that Congress does, it has to be signed by the president, which is bad. Because the president probably won't sign a bill.
Yeah. And
so maybe my ray of hope is not, well, crap.
Yeah, I let you have a moment, but I don't think so. And but the political parties in the United States, it's a binary system. It's a pendulum. It swings back and forth. And pretty soon, you know, there'll be different people in different branches of government, and this will continue to be regulated and deregulated and go to the Supreme Court, and there'll be many different versions of it. So I don't ever see it reaching the horrible dystopia.
I do.
But it is going to reach everything, right? Anybody who's starting a business or different companies, they have access to different things, whether it's location, whether it's communication, whether it's all sorts of stuff. And all of those things will continue to be negotiated back and forth, and the laws constantly change. So I never see it becoming so horrible like the examples that we're giving. That's why I think it'll be very subtle. But yeah, this is one pendulum swing in one direction. And again, literally 2 years ago, we went full net neutrality, and now we're swinging back to not being. But there are things in the center, right? There are certain things that you can't do, and that's where it gets very complicated. And those things that you can and cannot do as an internet service provider will change over time. But a lot of harm will be done, period.
I'm going to sing the doom song now. Doom, 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 doom. I tried to be positive. I tried. It's our 100th episode. I tried to be positive. It just didn't work.
I know. I thought we were going to, have a celebratory episode. Go out on a high note. It's okay.
I'm going to be able to eat a pint of Ben and Jerry's. And
hey, well, you know what?
My it's tears a good. Were on salt.
Yeah, seriously. This is a good way to end 2017, which has been a garbage year. I don't know how bad it's been for all of you, but it's been pretty horrible for me. And I hear that for a lot of people. So maybe this is a good way to end 2017. We can start 2018 refreshed anew with more positivity, more upbeat stories. Oh, and this has been PsychTech, the 100th episode of PsychTech, the Psychology and Technology Podcast. Find us at psychtechpodcast.com for more information and more episodes.
Check out the Patreon and join the book club. Book club, I mean game club.
If you want to see an example of different tiers and different access to things, visit our Patreon. Visit the Geek Therapy Patreon, where depending on how much you pay, you'd get different exclusives. It is unfortunately a perfect metaphor for the potential future of net neutrality. But they're good exclusives. It's good. I don't even want to make this argument now. And now I feel weird about it. But check it out.
You should, because this this month we're playing Oxenfree, and we're going to have a cool discussion about it. So you should definitely tune in, chip in if you can, and join us for our. We need to come up with a word for it, because it's a book club, but it's not a book.
Well, that's what I like. It's ironic because it's a book club in. Oh, you should see what other stuff I'm doing. I'm just throwing names on things that don't make sense. It's gonna be great.
Okay, well, that gives me hope for 2018. Something to look forward to.
Yep, just a little silliness here and there. All right, so thank you everybody for listening. Thank you for 100 episodes. It really, I don't know. I love it when we hear from people, and it's been fun. We'll be back in 2018. We didn't do anything but change our logo, really, like the podcast art. I was gonna do that for 100, and I did it. It ended up being a couple months ago because of how things worked out. Oh man! But other than a fresh coat of paint for the podcast and the website, we're just gonna keep doing what we do.
Yep. Peace out, Girl Scouts.
Happy New Year, and until next time. You just listened to PsychTech on the Geek Therapy Podcast Network. For more about Geek Therapy and our other podcasts, visit geektherapy.com.